I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
What's happening, Rush Nation? Welcome back to a Strategy Points podcast. Apologies for no waiver wire podcast this week. I had a few sort of family things come up, a little bit of health things, nothing too scary. I'm here, so I'm fine, but it's just a few little things that prevented me from doing a waiver wire show this week and sort of got me a little bit behind. Real life challenges, as I would say, have got in the way. But I'm here. So wanted to grab you all, get you all for a latest Strategy Points podcast. I hope you're enjoying this series. I think it's different to what most podcasts are out there. And this is the stuff I love, like the game within the game and getting sharper at the game, at the strategy side of things. You know, it's not just always about having the best players, it's coming up with the best combinations and taking advantage of situations. So let's talk into some roster construction first of all. Be saying the same thing, stash those running backs. You know, if you've been listening to me for weeks, I've been banging on about Rico Dowdle. He was a hot waiver wire ad this week. You know, fantasy managers are sort of really despondent about Tony Pollard and not getting in the end zone when everyone else for Dallas seemed to get one. There is, you know, Jack and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There is a trend on the horizon that the Cowboys know where they are. They know they're going to be in the playoffs pretty much, and they are resting Pollard to a certain degree, and they're going to continue to rest him for a certain degree. So, you know, Rico Dowdle, yes, okay, one of his touchdowns was in garbage time. They're up by 30 points. That's not going to happen every week, but he did get some serious plays, you know, early on this game before it was really out of doubt, although, you know, there were 17, 18 point favorites. So we're always going to win. But you got to play the games. And Dowdle was good. He looked good. He looked explosive. There was a play before he actually scored the touchdown in the fourth quarter where, you know, he got down to the 1 yard line. His knee was down reaching, but, you know, he broke a couple of tackles. He showed great burst, great acceleration. He looked fresh, and ultimately they're going to incorporate him in this game. So he's going to have standalone fantasy value with that upside if something was to happen to Tony Pollard or if they completely rest him. So, you know, we've been talking about Dowdle for a week as a premium handcuff, but actually now if you've been listening and been stashing him, you know, you're in this position now where he has this great upside. Same goes for Ty Chandler this week. He's going to be a great matchup play because he's going to have... Oh, so sorry, please excuse me. He is going to have that ability to you know, cut through, and he's going to have no competition. There's no Cam Akers. There's no Alexander Mattison this week. So it is going to be purely Ty Chandler. You know, he's going to have a relatively decent week. I'm not saying prescribing him to be a top 12 running back, because he's not going to be. But, you know, we're talking about him knocking on the door of the top 24, which, you know, for what you're going to get, it's great. You know, Denver are one of the worst sort of teams that be run on this season. So, you know, to get Ty Chandler now and to have him for a week before the bye is important. It's going to be a useful matchup, and it's going to be a useful experience. If you spend some fab on him, then he was worth spending the fab on. I've currently got him round about RB25. So yeah, just knocking on the door of RB24. He's certainly startable this week. You can certainly feel good about starting him this week. So, you know, there are these players, these situations. There aren't many of them left now, but there are these running backs. If they're available out there on the waiver wire, these sort of handcuff players out there, then, and I talked about this on the first Fantasy Points podcast a couple of weeks ago, go back and listen to that, because there's really important stuff there that you should definitely go back and listen to, because I go through sort of each premium handcuff, the ones I'd want to own and the ones I wouldn't. So yeah, keep an eye on, you know, go back, listen to that, make the most of that show, and go through and listen to the ones I say are the ones to certainly own going forward. So, you know, there's some really useful information. On the same token, there's also situations now where if you're holding a Damian Pierce, if you're holding a Miles Sanders, and you're kind of hoping that they're going to come good, you know, you need to get rid. Those situations aren't going to get a whole lot better, even if there is an injury. I don't necessarily expect them to usurp into a huge role, because they weren't doing it when they had a huge role to begin with. So, you know, those players can come off your roster. So, you know, have a think about what available running backs are still out there in your leagues. I doubt Dowdle's owned in most leagues, although he was a hot waiver wire ad this week. So if he's available, definitely go in there. Definitely look to getting him on your rosters this week. If you can get, I'm just looking through, you know, Tank Bigsby would be the next one. If something was to happen to Travis Etienne, he is someone that would walk into a huge role, and they've proven already that they would trust him. So he is someone that you can look to, someone that you can look to add. Zamir White, potentially, but I don't really trust the Raiders to run the ball that well, but he could be an interesting one. That Michael Carter got released and has gone to the Arizona Cardinals. He's claimed by the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not saying Michael Carter is someone you should go and grab. What that does do is it does free up Dalvin Cook a bit. All of a sudden, Dalvin Cook, for me, went this week to being someone I'm just absolutely not that interested in. So all of a sudden, if something was to happen to Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook looks like he could be in line for a decent amount of work now, because there is no Michael Carter. That room has shrunk quite significantly behind him. All of a sudden, Dalvin Cook looks like someone worth owning in fantasy football. Zeke Elliott, now we're into this range where the Patriots aren't going to make the playoffs. Do they really want to crash and burn Ramondre Stevenson in a lost cause, or do they want to run the wheels off Zeke? You might start to see a trend there towards Zeke getting some more work. Jordan Mason is someone that should be owned in a lot more leagues than he is. You know, these are players that you should absolutely be on. Tajay Spears, if he's available, is another one. So definitely look to roster these running backs. The next thing I would say coming up to your next waiver wire run next week is start planning ahead for those week 13 waivers. So we know we're going to lose some big receivers in week 13. There's a lot of wide receivers in week 13 that are going to be on bye. Devontae Adams is going to be on bye. Justin Jefferson's going to be, you know, eventually he's going to come back. Hopefully he comes back this week, and then he's going to go on bye. Stephon Diggs is going to be on bye. Zay Flowers is going to be on bye. DJ Moore is going to be on bye. You know, we've got quite a lot of bye week teams on bye in week 13, and it absolutely makes sense to start thinking about those week 12 acquisitions for week 13. So look at players that might have been dropped that can come in and do a role in the flex. I imagine quite a lot of people dropped Michael Thomas this week off the back of a really poor performance and injury. and he's on bye this week. He might be one you might want to grab. Michael Wilson, someone I talk about, he got in the end zone on Sunday. He's someone that could be seeing an increased amount of work in what is now a much better offense with Kyler Murray there. So that's a situation that he might be a player you want to pick up. You might want to look at Noah Brown if he's still available in leagues. He's been heavily picked up in the last week and a half. If he's still available, that's another player you want to look at. You want to get ahead of these week 13 buys. So you know they're coming. You know you're going to have these players. So in week 12, use that time to acquire the players that you want to play in week 13. So get ahead of it if you can. It's all about just being clever roster management and making sure you don't have to spend as much fab as you need to on those key acquisitions. The same might go for streaming. So you might want to stream a defense in week 13. Maybe you roster one for an extra week and buy it now for a $0 ad and have a think about who might be good there. And I'll talk about some additional waiver wire pickups potentially for that week on next week's show. It's just about now having a fluid roster. You want to make sure that you're utilizing your bench spots. Your bench spots are incredibly important now to make sure you've got players who are always going to be capable to step up and play, but also having that high upside return, but then also having that strategic point of saving you some fab money or claims and getting the best players now who people might not be looking for week 13. So just having your roster sort of 1 week ahead of time, if you're in this pushing towards the playoffs mode, then that's the mode that you kind of need to take. That's the position you need to take. You need to start thinking ahead. So you need to start looking at getting ahead and playing 1 week ahead of your opponents. And if you can play 1 week ahead of your opponents, you'll be 1 week ahead of them, which means when it gets to game week, you'll have the best players on your roster. You'll have the best matchups. You'll have everything there. If you want to ask me specific questions about players you should pick up in your league, you can contact me at @Murph_NFL on the X machine, Twitter machine, whatever it's called, or you can join our Patreon, join our chat. I answer questions in there multiple times a day. You can join that for literally just £1 a month. So subscribe for a couple of months, see how you like it for the rest of the season, help win a championship, doesn't cost you a lot of money, and hopefully you like the community and stick around in the off season. That's pretty much it for roster construction. The one other strategy point, this is something that people don't really talk about all that often, is fab management. So look, you can't take fab with you. At the end of the season, it's either spent or it's not spent. So you want to look at where you are sitting with fab. If you're in a fab league, if you're not in a fab league, this next sort of 2 or 3 minutes is not that relevant to you. If you are in a fab league, and fab stands for a free agent acquisition budget, and it's an alternative to just worst team gets the best waiver claims. So ultimately, it means that any player is available to anybody for, depending on how much fab is spent. And so depending on where you are with your fab, it's now becomes a really interesting strategy. If you're in a league where you haven't used all that much fab, that's absolutely fine. I've got a couple of leagues where I've not had any injuries or that many injuries. I've not had to really, I put bids in for Achan and or Achain or Achan, I think. Yeah, it's Achan and a few other players, and people dumped a lot of fab on those players. And as a result, I didn't get them, and that's fine. But mostly my squad is relatively intact from where it was at the start of the season. Yours might be too. So I have leagues where I have quite a fair bit of fab. And so what I do, and this came up in a dynasty league I'm in, I had a fair bit of fab, got a pretty deep roster, haven't really used all that much of it, was I put in a bid for Ty Chandler of, I think it was $19. And ultimately, I'm putting out a price that's what I don't really need Ty Chandler. He's not someone that for me is short term. He might go on and win the job for the rest of the season, and that's great. It's a huge upside. But ultimately, the strategy for me was to put a bid saying, well, I think he's worth 20. That's my value, is where I think people should be paying. So I'll go $1 under the value, even though I don't need him. Because what's going to happen is one of two things. Either I get a player slightly undervalued, right? It's really slightly undervalued. It's a dollar. Or alternatively, people are going to have to pay the asking price. And then I advertise, this is exactly what I've done. And it means that going forward, I might have to or might not have to put in waiver claims. But people always have to be aware of the fact I'm going to make people pay market rate for players. And it's a really important point from this point on. Ty Chandler is not going to hurt me on my bench. So I don't plan to start him. I might start him at the last minute. Who knows? But ultimately, at this point in time, he's more than likely going to be on my bench. And he's not going to hurt me being on my bench. He might go off and have the greatest game ever. But that's fine. He's on my bench. He's not in my opponent's lineup. And that's what's key, is ultimately free agent acquisition bids are there to make sure that you acquire talent and also make sure that your opponents don't get said talent. And you have to make sure that market rates are getting paid. Because ultimately, if someone gets Ty Chandler for $3, $4, that's just not good. That's not a good way to... They get a steal. They effectively get a player who they can slot in their lineup and they save on fab, which means they don't have to worry about that. So that's what's key, is if you're making people spend the market rate on a player, that's fine. They can spend that market rate on a player and they get that player and they paid a fair cost, but you've hit their acquisition budget. So they're going to have less money getting into the playoffs. And for you, you're going, okay, but you're spending fab on players you might not need. Yes, I am. But it's a short-term cost. I've got more fab than I plan to spend. Unless there's a major injury in the last couple of weeks. But what if there isn't? I play the odds now. We're 11 weeks in and I haven't spent that much. And there have been some big injuries. The likelihood of a player coming on board now that isn't already on my roster that is going to significantly have an impact on my team is a lot smaller than it was earlier on in the season, because there's fewer weeks left and there's fewer players available because of all the injuries that have happened. Therefore, if you're sitting there with $100, $90, $80 fab, or if you play 200 and you've got well over 100, you know, you can start playing this game where you're blocking, you're going to make people pay fair rate. Once you do that once or twice in a league chat and people see that and you advertise, hey, I put this bid out there not because I want the player, but because I'm going to make you pay fair rate. People are going to have to start paying fair rate. People are going to have to spend more budget. And by advertising that this is what you're doing, people will, in the next waiver run, put in more fab because they know you've got a lot of fab. They know that you're going to put in market rate claims on players that are going to have an impact. You can't do it on all the players. So you have to pick the high-impact players. Ty Chandler was the high-impact player this week. Next week, it could be someone completely different. I've told you how you can get ahead of this by picking some of these players up for free. So they're not even an option for players to pick up. But let's say for fantasy managers to pick up. But however, even if there is that option to pick up, do the market rate-based thing once or twice. People's acquisition budget bids go up and people spend their fab, whether you've bid or not. Now, obviously, people can see afterwards if you've not bid. So you can kind of do it once, not do it the next week. You might get people to go along and think, okay, he's going to put in a bid. Oh, he's not put in a bid. And then the following week, put in a bid. You know, and a lot of this is fluid depending on who's out there, etc. But it keeps the league honest and it makes people sit up on notice and go, okay. More importantly, and you could actually find that you might get a co-sponsor on this, i.e. someone else in your league has a lot of fab and has gone, that's a really good idea, and actually says, okay, so the following week, I'm going to put a fair market rate bid out there. And if someone overbids, that's fine. They can overbid and they get the player. I think it's a really strong strategy to get people to spend fab in leagues and ultimately to stop players that can have league-winning weeks appear on rosters against you. So it works twofold that way. That's really key, and I think that's a strategy you need to implement going forward. So take that on board. If you have any further questions on that, then do let me know. If you're weak on fab, so if you don't have that much fab left, you're just going to have to add players for free off waiver-wise and do everything that you can. That's going to be really key. So make sure you do that. So just stay ahead, use the free agency period, keep rotating your roster, keep strengthening after waivers have cleared. Look at when your waivers clear and get online maybe the minute after that and pick up whoever wasn't picked up if there were some players you were eyeing up.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Over the next couple of weeks, don't pay for defenses. Don't pay for kickers. If you need to stream them, then stream them. But don't pay for them. All right, you might not get the first choice, but you might get the second or third choice. So that's a really key strategy, just to make that fab stretch as much as possible. So you don't have much fab, you know, play the waiver wire, play the free agency period as well as you can. But yeah, if you've got loads of fab, start spending it. And start spending it by setting a signal out that players aren't going to go cheap anymore in this league, that aren't going to make people pay market rate. Even if you make a below market rate bid. So say you have like $70 and you put a $10 bid on Ty Chandler. He's worth 20. So okay, let's say even 10 and someone gets him for 12 bucks. Okay, fine. But you've still made someone bid that, i.e. if someone had bid $3 or $4 expected to get him and you've bid 10 and you've won him, you've got to play on a steal, and you could end up trading that player, right? You could trade that player and get your 15, you get a profit back. You can say, well look, he's worth 20, I'll sell him for 15, and that's how you can gain free agency budget. That way you could end up trading the player for cash if your trade deadline isn't closed. Another thing on trade deadlines, I've had a lot of questions this week come to me about how to make my squads better. It's simply look down at what you've got. Have a look down at what you need. Look at the teams that match up. So if you need wide receivers and you've got running backs galore, then have a look at that and go ahead and go, right, I need to find the teams that have that strength and follow off with me and make sure that we're following that. So if I'm, you know, weak at wide receiver and I'm strong at running back, I find someone who's weak at running back and strong at wide receiver. There are too many teams or too many people that try and win trades, and it really annoys me. So, you know, I tried to make a trade in a league just the other week, or in fact this week, where someone refused to sell me, trade me Joe Burrow for Gus Edwards. The guy's got no running backs. And he's like, that doesn't seem like a fair trade. I'm like, well, you've got Jalen Hurts, he's come off a bye. You're not going to play Joe Burrow for the rest of the season. He's going to sit on your bench. I'm giving you a top 24 running back who's the top four in PPR in the last 4 weeks. You know, you're gaining, you've got a quarterback you're not going to use on your bench. And I threw in Geno as backup. So it's like, okay, well, look, if you're worried about having a backup, I'll flog your Geno back. You can have Geno with that. Wouldn't bite. And that's fine, but Burrow's worth nothing sitting on your bench. He's not worth anything. And he's like, well, Burrow's worth a lot more. Well, he's not. It's the QB20. He's not worth that much. You know, ultimately, Edwards is worth more than Burrow in a 1QB league. Whether you like that or not, that is the state of play. Draft capital at this point means absolutely nothing. You might have drafted Burrow in the fourth round. I might have picked up Gus Edwards in the last round. That's irrelevant. Performance-wise, Edwards is a starter. Burrow is not a starter. Edwards makes your team better. Burrow sitting on your bench acquiring points does not. So ultimately, it's getting people to change their mindset. You can't do that. And ultimately, if people don't do that, you can't trade with them. But don't fall into the trap of thinking that you offered a junk deal when you haven't. Because you haven't offered a junk deal if that's the type of deal you were trying to do. A lot of people stashed Kyler Murray and are now trading him for assets. And it's great. I've seen it in the Patreon chat. Someone flipped, Wardy flipped Murray, who was his third quarterback in a 1QB league. Doesn't need him. He's got a better backup than Murray. Murray's just sitting there as a piece of, you know, he's collecting dust effectively on the shelf, and he's flipped him for Jerome Ford and DJ Moore. People might sit there and think, well, you could have got, should have got way more. Ford and Moore make his team a lot better than his third quarterback who's sitting there doing nothing. So ultimately, it's a great trade for me. He's made his team better. I think Ford picks up a load of carries. He's an RB2. Okay, he's an RB2. That's still an RB2 you can plug and play. That is a starter in your lineup or in your flex that you didn't have. And then you've got DJ Moore, similar. Wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. Yeah, okay. He's not a blockbuster player, but he's usable. He's flexible every single week except for his bye week. So I love it. I love that sort of trade. That's the line of thinking. You need to get draft capital out of your brain. Where they were drafted is irrelevant. It dies the minute the draft ends. Doesn't matter. People go, oh, he was a first rounder. I don't care. If he's not performing like a first rounder, that is irrelevant. If Christian McCaffrey hadn't scored any touchdowns this season, he would not be worth a first round pick. It's just the way it is. You have to take people for what they have done as it stands right now. As it stands right now. So ultimately, if, like for me, Gus Edwards and Geno Smith for Joe Burrow is a good trade. The guy needs a running back. I need a better quarterback than Geno. In fact, you could argue that Joe Burrow and Geno are about a push. But I'm buying on the upside of Joe Burrow. He gets a starting running back on his team. Yes, it's an RB2. Yes, he's getting a little bit less work. Yes, it's a little bit less sexy. Ultimately, he's bought into the draft company. He's not made that trade. That's fine. But if Joe Burrow, he's not going to play Joe Burrow. So he's not got any asset. He gets a running back injury. He's got no running backs, literally. Doesn't know where to start one. He'll be starting someone off free agency who will not be as good as Gus Edwards. So that's what I mean. Flip those additional assets who are not going to play. Get the draft value out of your head and trade players and make sensible trades. And explain to people if they're declining deals that look weird. Just explain the mantra of, look, it's about what they're doing today. Joe Burrow, not doing that well. Ultimately, he might go on and be the Joe Burrow of old. But he might not. He might not. And we've seen more this season than that, even with injury and whatever. He's not been great. He wasn't great last week. You know, they're playing tonight. There's another week gone. So that's week 11 gone. Five, 6 games left. There's not that many games left for him to turn it around if things don't happen tonight against the Ravens. And that's my point is, you know, people need to realize that actually when you put trades down, you shouldn't have to explain the trade, but, you know, most people tend to have in their head of the draft capital. Well, he was drafted in the second round. You know, Garrett Wilson was drafted in the second or third round. Who cares? He's got absolute junk throwing him the ball. It's irrelevant. He's not a second or third round pick now. Fine if you want to acquire him in a PPR league because of volume. That makes sense. But he's not worth a player that, in that range. And that's where people value it. And that's where people make mistakes is they sit there and value players. And it means they won't trade them. So if you've got Garrett Wilson and you can flip him for something far more useful, absolutely flip him. If you've got players on your bench that have been sitting on your bench all season, you've not played them, and you can get usable pieces for them, trade them. It doesn't matter what the value is, as long as you improve your team. So if you flip Kyler Murray for Jerome Ford and DJ Moore, that's a good deal because you've got a player who's going to literally earn you 0 points for the rest of the season because he's going to sit on your bench, and you've got two players that are going to contribute 30 points a week, potentially, to your lineup. Or you've got added debt for insurance. Either way, it's a better way to be. Just going on to, I normally do the strength of schedule stuff. It doesn't change too much week to week. I know people are a bit the disappointed in Lamar Jackson over the last couple of weeks. Schedule gets better, as does Brock Purdy's. And then we've got the situation in Cleveland where we've got DTR now playing. You know, I think it's just Jerome Ford's season again. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. I think it's going to be a good time for him. I expect Jordan Love to rebound as well. He's got a decent schedule coming up over the next sort of 4 or 5 weeks or so. Running back schedules, you know, I think regardless of where you are, there's some people that are really worried about Seattle's running back schedule, and they should be to a degree, and it will mean that Zach Charbonnet will get more work. But ultimately, Kenneth Walker is still going to be a top 12 player just simply on volume and talent, and there's just not that many running backs left. So even if he has got a tough schedule, you shouldn't be too worried about that at the running back position. I'd be more worried about the guys who are sort of that middling talent, like Brian Robinson Jr., who's got the fifth hardest schedule, or Chuba Hubbard, who's got the worst schedule, you know, or Chicago have got the second worst schedule. Those are the guys I'm more worried about over the next 5 weeks, because they're not as talent rich. So they might use a committee to do that. But where you've got a talent rich player, the schedule shouldn't matter all that much, because ultimately, yes, it's going to cap their upside. It's going to stop them from being a top five, top six fantasy player, but they're still going to be startable. They're not going to fall out of the top 24. So if you've got Kenneth Walker, yes, you're going to lose touches to Zach Charbonnet. Yes, he's not going to be as prolific as potentially he could and should be with the schedule, and maybe utilizing Zach Charbonnet more, because Zach Charbonnet is looking explosive. He's looking fresh. He's looking healthy. And they will tend to run that two running back scheme. But Kenneth Walker is still going to be a top 15, 16 back, regardless, because of the talent in breakaway runs. We saw what he did on Sunday, breaking away a 60 plus yard receiving touchdown. You know, those plays are going to happen when you've got a player as talented as that. And that's why, you know, to a degree, the upper echelon of players doesn't overly matter where they are against the schedule. Yes, it's going to cap them from having those huge weeks, but it's not going to cap them from being completely unplayable in fantasy football. Yeah, the same goes for wide receivers. It's going to be a good time for Deebo Samuel. He's got the easiest schedule, and Brandon Ayuk for the next five games. Michael Pittman as well, we should see an uptick in him. And then Green Bay receivers, we should see an uptick in Jaden Reed and Romeo Dubs in particular. And Demario Douglas should have a nice schedule. And CeeDee Lamb's going to absolutely eat over the next five games. Maybe watch out for someone like Drake London, this flipping quarterback. Going, it looks like it could be Ridder now. That could be an interesting one. I'm not worried about Miami and their situation. I'm not too worried about the Buccaneers and their situation, just because they've got those elite receivers. And nor am I worried about Keenan Allen, nor am I worried about Stephon Diggs or Detroit, who've got difficult schedules over the next few weeks. I'm more concerned looking at Jacksonville. This might curb Calvin Ridley. If you can flip him, now might be a really good time to try and get something usable for him. But his value is way, way down. If you're looking at streaming defenses over the next few weeks, I know the Saints are on a bye, but they're a really good defense to pick up, and you can probably pick them up for free and stash them for the following weeks after this. Miami have the best schedule, so they'd be looking to pick them up. Also Washington have a great matchup this week, so definitely exploit that one. I would say just the Giants do, but I'd be a little careful of that with their quarterback play at the moment. Detroit also have a good schedule coming up. These should be all mostly readily available defenses that you can go ahead, pick up and stream. Let's look into some matchup stuff for wide receivers. So some wide receivers I'd pick out this week that should have some good matchups. Terry McLaurin has a really positive matchup against Adoree Jackson. Same can be said for Curtis Samuel against Cordell Flott. They're ones I'd really exploit. If you're looking for a really deep flex play, I really like Jalen Guyton against Carrington Valentine. He's someone I'd be looking to take advantage of. There's also a huge mismatch between Quinton Johnston and Corey Ballantyne. Ballantyne's given up one of the highest fantasy points per route run against him. So maybe this could be a Quinton Johnston week. But I must admit, I watched him last week. I didn't really like the way that he was running routes. He looked a bit lazy. He looked a bit ploddy. He looked a little bit sort of off the pace. Wasn't really running routes brilliantly. It was just down to great quarterback play from Herbert that he was really found in this game at all. So there's a slight concern there with me with Johnston. Whereas I looked at Guyton, who ran really crisp routes, who really looked the real deal. Brandon Ayuk against Jamal Dean, that looks like a heavy mismatch there that can be exploited. Absolutely. So I'd look to definitely be picking that one up as well. Deebo Samuel against Carlton Davis, the same. That definitely looks like a matchup that can yield a few fantasy points there. So expect that one to go your way. And then I mentioned Romeo Dubs. He's got a pretty decent matchup against Asante Samuel, who's a really good cornerback, but you know, he's one that you can definitely put up points against. So I like that matchup as well. There's another one that you could potentially exploit this week. One really sneaky play, and this is a sneaky, sneaky play, is Josh Reynolds. So Josh Reynolds against Tyreek Stevenson, that could be an opportunity for Josh Reynolds to get out of his slump. But, you know, I wouldn't bank on it. But if you're looking for, you're in a super deep league and Josh Reynolds has been dumped due to this ongoing slump in recent weeks, Josh Reynolds might be a super deep play this week just based on this matchup. Devonta Smith might come to life, excuse me, this week against Jalen Watson as well. So that might be another good one to take advantage of as well. Looking at the worst matchups on the board, T. Higgins is out, so he's likely to be replaced by Trenton Irwin. He's got Marlon Humphrey this week, so don't expect this big week out of Trenton Irwin that you got last week. That's just not going to happen. Jamar Chase is always back as talent, but he has got Brandon Stevens, so that upside could be capped. And we don't know if he's fully recovered from that injury that made him a game time decision in week 10. Khalil Shakir against Michael Carter of the Jets, that's a terrible matchup. Stephon Diggs, but against DJ Reed, again, it's not one I would worry about with Diggs, but I am worried about Gabe Davis on Sauce Gardner. That's one that would concern me to maybe consider dropping Gabe Davis this week to the bench. I'm also looking at a few other players here. Zay Flowers against DJ Turner is going to be a tough matchup. Marquise Hollywood Brown against Steven Nelson is going to be a tricky matchup. So there's a couple here that definitely need to keep an eye on. Devontae Adams against Jalen Ramsey, that could be another one that we could see, especially with the quarterback play there. Normally, I would sit there and prevail that Adams would prevail, but he needs to get the throws, and that could be one that could be a little bit tricky. So that's another one just to keep an eye on some matchups. So do keep an eye on those matchups and have a look at those in more detail. I think that's going to do it for the Strategy Points podcast. A lot of stuff to digest and think about. I will be back tonight with the flagship show with stocks. So do join us on Facebook or on the YouTube for questions. If you want to ask questions about any of this stuff in more detail, then please go ahead and do that. Alternatively, you know, if you want to pick this up with me offline, you absolutely can. Not going to answer absolutely every single question. But you can join the Patreon and I will absolutely answer every single question. Starts from £1 a month. It doesn't cost much. Patreon.com/5yardrush. That's going to do it for the Strategy Points podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you found this valuable. I will drop the podcast audio first and then I will drop the video later on. So enjoy it. But until then, Rush Nation, don't forget, as always, keep rushing.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.